Of the local station board, 2017. I believe we have quorum, if you can take roll.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Grace Aaron present. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron present. Jonathan Alexander?
Excused absence.
Jonathan Alexander, excused absence. Marlena Bond?
Here.
Marlena Bond present. Sandy Childs?
Excused absence.
Sandy Childs, excused absence. Roberta Eidman?
Here.
Roberta Eidman present. Stephen Frantz, excused absence. Jamie Gomez?
Here.
Jamie Gomez present. Jan Goodman?
Here.
Jan Goodman present. Stephen Kaiser?
Here.
Stephen Kaiser present. Doug Kriegel?
Steve said yesterday what I did today.
Okay, well, he's just absent. He didn't request an excused absence.
So, Doug Kriegel absent, Maggie LaPique.
Here.
Maggie LaPique present, Ali Lexa.
Excused absence.
Ali Lexa excused absence. Barbara Marbach.
Present.
Barbara Marbach present. Ishmael Parra.
Here.
Ishmael Parra present. Reza Poor.
Here.
Reza Poor present. Steve Pride.
Excused absence.
Steve Pride excused absence. Dorothy Reich excused absence. Myla Reason excused absence. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes present. Mansoor Sabah.
I would like to be excused absent.
Mansoor Sabah is present. Lance Simmons.
Here.
Lance Simmons present. Fernando Velasquez. Fernando Velasquez present. Lisa Wong.
Here.
Lisa Wong present. We have 16 present. We do have quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Yes. This is excused absence. Yes. Ms. Goodman.
It seems that it would be appropriate, instead of just saying excused absence, that the people have asked for an excused absence.
Yes, they're excused absence requests, and I apologize. That was my fault by starting out saying excused absence. However, at this point, I will entertain a motion to accept the excused absences.
So.
Are there any objections to accepting the excused absences? Hearing none, excused absences are accepted. I'll entertain a motion to approve the proposed agenda.
So moved.
Are there any objections to approving the proposed agenda? Hearing none, the proposed agenda is approved. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Chair,
yes, Mr. Ray. Hold on, Ms. Goodman's hand was up first.
I would like to amend the minutes.
Okay, and what would your amendment be?
Number five, public comments. I'd like to add that when the extended time for public comments was up, those persons who had the microphone refused to return it. And a public disruption ensued.
Number five on page three.
Number five on page three.
I think I'd like to also amend the minutes.
Okay.
Public disruption ensued, after which the meeting was adjourned early.
Okay. A public disruption ensued,
so,
causing a premature adjournment of meeting. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Reyes?
Yes, I'd like to also add the amendment that as a result of Mala Reason pulling the plug on the mics, a public disruption did occur.
Okay, so why don't we say microphone refused to return it, comma, at which point
LSB member
Mila Reason unplugged the microphone. called us Nazis.
I got a question.
I would prefer not to mention names when I say a public disruption ensued.
It's all inclusive.
It is. A public disruption ensued, causing a premature adjournment of meeting.
Well, you have to say that LSB members were part of the disruption.
As you were by referring to certain members as Nazis.
I said that. I don't want to put in there.
Lawrence Ray has called us Nazis.
Well, he did.
Do I need to make that public record?
Marlowe Reason pulled the plug, and as a result of that, further disruption occurs.
We're in the middle of a disruption when that occurred.
Could we make that a ruling of the chair, and then we can...
Okay, well...
Well, if we're going
to
start...
To the minutes.
Lance, please.
Listen. This is getting ridiculous.
Why don't you pick up the mic? This is getting ridiculous.
We don't need to be talking about accusations of what, who did what, when, and where. The fact of the matter is the minutes should reflect what happened. And what happened was there was a disturbance. And the meeting was adjourned.
Prematurely.
That's a fact. We don't need to get into recriminations about who did what to whom.
I agree.
Because that's going to look petty, and it's going to reflect very badly upon what it is we're charged to do here. We're charged with conducting a meeting and getting business done. And the only thing that the minutes should reflect is what business was conducted. So let's get off of this kick of everybody trying to poke in the eye somebody else. We don't need to put in there who did what, when, and where. What we need to do is reflect what factually happened.
Here, here. Thank you.
Mr. Velasquez.
Giving the last statement, considering the last statement, I move that we remove the names from all the actions and things that took place at that meeting, and we describe, as the man said, what happened. So if we're going to exclude Myla Reason for unplugging the mic, we ought to remove Lawrence Reyes for making, calling this name to the board members.
Right, that's not in the minutes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
I'm looking at it. Middle of page two. Jim.
After public comments one.
I would say.
Yeah. I was asked by both you and Mr. Reyes to include that. Someone in Mr. Reyes had said put it in the minutes, so I will take it out.
Just say that must be.
No, we don't have to say anything.
Okay, is anyone...
If he was censured, the problem is if he was censured, that goes to the minutes.
Well, according to Robert's rules, I did not follow the proper procedure for censuring a member, and that was pointed out to me after the meeting.
So we can let it go?
So I have two proposed amendments. One was Ms. Goodman's amendment to add the part about the disruption. The other is Mr. Velasquez's amendment, which would be to eliminate that short paragraph between sections 3 and 4 related to Mr. Reyes. And Mr. Reyes, you said you have a third amendment?
Yes, sir. I made a point of order regarding Sharon Brown. And it just says point of order was made. I'd like to state it for the record, and since it's going to be part of the record, that I was the one that made that point of order.
Okay, on item C under number one.
Yes, sir.
Point of order was made by Lawrence Reyes regarding Sharon Brown. So we'll insert point of order was made by Lawrence Reyes.
Thank you.
Are there any objections to approving the minutes as amended? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
No, I'll keep time.
I have just shy of 11 o'clock. We have 140 minutes on the agenda, so that would put it 11, 12, 1, 1:30. Do I have, I'll entertain a motion to set time certain to 1:30? Okay, is there anyone opposed to setting time certain to at 1:30?
I just have a quick question, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Reyes?
You usually put setting up the next meeting and location, and it's not in there this time.
We had agreed on the next location to be at the Peace Center at our last meeting. Okay. Hearing no objections for time certain, we're set at 1:30. We have elections of officers coming up, but before we go to that section, there is a statement from the chair regarding public comments. And this will be in the record for this meeting.
Can you hold the mic a little bit further away so I don't,
is that okay?
I don't get feedback.
Is that okay?
Fine.
Okay. The chair feels a need to make a statement for the public record about public comments. Last month's meeting was prematurely adjourned.
Excuse me.
What are we looking at?
Part of information. Personal privilege. Since there are no public here, perhaps you could make your... I would move that you make your comments prior to the first set of public comments.
I wanted to do it before the election of the officers.
Oh.
And the agenda has been determined already.
Okay.
So there's the public here, and she's recording.
Yes. Okay. And this is being recorded also for the public.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Now, where was I?
Start.
Thank you. Okay, well, that's fine.
At the beginning.
Thank you, Mansoor. The chair feels a need to make a statement for the record about public comments. Last month's meeting was prematurely adjourned. This premature adjournment was preceded by inappropriate name-calling. This is not the first time that our local station board members have been subjected to inappropriate name-calling. And this is not the first time our local station board meeting has been prematurely disrupted due to disruptions that occurred following inappropriate name-calling. I am especially disappointed with the actions of some of our Spanish language programmers and their supporters. As the KPFK local station board chair, I have always been sensitive to our public's right of public comment, and I have always provided extra time for Spanish to English language translation during public comments. It is overdue and proper for me to point out that there has been a pattern of unfair defamation of our local station board members by some KPFK Spanish language programmers and their supporters. Last month, our local station board was content to hold our meeting in the historically Spanish-speaking community of Boyle Heights. And we even voted to approve meeting at this location on an ongoing basis. However, our local station board's goodwill was rewarded by being called racists on multiple occasions during public comments by Spanish language programmers and their supporters.
It should be noted that the local station board has little power over the programming that occurs at the KPFK radio station, and that general accusations of racism against our local station board members is disrespectful, unprofessional, and ignorant. The chair of the local station board is putting the Spanish language programmers and their supporters on notice that from this point forward, any continued inappropriate defamation of our local station board members at public local station board meetings by any Spanish language programmers and or volunteers shall be reported to the KPFK general manager with a request that the general manager implement a program of progressive discipline against any Spanish language programmers and or volunteers that continue to inappropriately and unprofessionally disrespect our local station board members.
Can I make one suggestion? I would just in order to try to tamp down the flames here a little bit, could that be directed to anyone, not just Spanish programmers? Because I don't care if you're a Spanish programmer or a Russian programmer. If you call me a racist, I'm really going to be pissed off. So I think that that ought to be directed to anyone who engages in that kind of defamatory language, not just Spanish programmers.
Okay. I'm not going to have a discussion on this.
No, I just want to make a change.
No, I'm not going to make a change on my statement. I'm fine with my statement. It's been a pattern of inappropriate behavior over the past year, and I feel that this admonishment is long overdue.
Well, I've got a problem with that, and I would object.
Well, it's my statement. You're not voting on it. I just made a statement from the chair, and you can disagree with it. That's fine. Mr. Velasquez.
Three very important points, if I may use the microphone. This sounds to me like an infringement on free speech in this country. That's the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and it sounds like the comments coming from the chair are out of order. Secondly, by comments made by individuals associated with programming or friends of programmers at KPFK, why would they be punished at KPFK far away from the site where the LSB meets? What authority does the chair have in order to impose such a behavior and progressive discipline, ordering the management of KPFK to punish free speech? And lastly, giving the single-handed selective application of the rules when we have undocumented immigrants from all over Europe and Canada, and only those who speak Spanish, particularly the Mexicans, are being selected by Donald Trump and supporters, when we are suffering that attack, that persecution, when we need to defend and resist the most is when some members, regardless, despite the declaration and comments of the chair, there are members of the LSB who are advocating for the reduction or even cancellation of all the Spanish language programming at the time when Latinos are being persecuted. This seems to me it was well off the mark, off the target. Does not comply with the Pacifica Mission. Thank you.
Can I be recognized?
It looks like we're going to take a step. Mr. Reyes, you're next, then Ms. Bond and Mr. Aaron.
How much time do we have on this agenda point?
Mm-hmm.
I call for orders of the day.
Okay, orders of the day have been called for. We're overdue on this point in the agenda. We need to move to the elections of officers. If people are unhappy with my service as chair, and I do plan to rerun for chair for the upcoming election that is the next point of business, then you may vote against me.
Chair, your decision to include the statement into the record. I'm okay with you.
Minutes next month, you may.
I'm gonna do it right now because this is being.
You're
inserted.
Out of order, Mr. Reyes.
Thank you. This is being inserted into the record by you, and there has not been a vote taken on this. So I move that this be not inserted into the record.
You're out of order. This item's on the agenda. It was approved to be on the agenda by the body.
It is approved to be on the agenda, but it should be voted on. It should be voted on.
Next month, when we vote on the minutes, you may. We're going to move to election of officers. Do I have? Let's entertain any nominations for elections of officers.
What officers?
Which first?
It's the local officers, the treasurer, the secretary, the vice chair, and the chair of the KPFK local station board.
Maybe we should have a parliamentarian again, too.
Which one we want to start with?
Okay. Let's start with nominations for treasurer.
I nominate Ken Aaron.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for treasurer besides Mr. Ken Aaron? Okay, I have hearing no other nominations. You are approved treasurer by acclamation.
Thank you.
Excuse me, is there any people who may want to vote on this election? Whether it's,
yeah, I think you should ask for opposition.
Is there any opposition to Ken Aaron being treasurer? Okay, so we have a couple of people opposed, but we have nobody else running. So I guess we're going to take a vote. It's just a straight yay or nay. How many people approve of Ken Aaron being treasurer? Please raise your hands.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
How many opposed?
1, 2, 3.
Let me give him a chance to get those numbers down. We have 11 to 3.
Hang on.
And,
one second.
Okay.
And how many abstentions?
With two abstentions. Thank you. Okay, we will now take nominations for secretary.
Michael Adler to continue, please.
I have Michael Adler nominated to be secretary. Are there any other nominations? Are there any objections to Michael Adler continuing as secretary of our local station board? Hearing no objections, Michael Adler is hereby elected as secretary. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Good work, Michael.
Do we have any nominations for vice chair of the local station board, Mansoor?
Barbara Marbach.
Jan?
I would like to ask Lisa Wong if she would be willing to be vice chair.
No, thank you.
Okay. Any other nominations? Are there any objections to electing Barbara Marbach as vice chair of the local station board? Hearing no objections. Thank you, Barbara. You are reelected as vice chair of the local station board. Nominations for chair of the local station board?
Jamie Gomez.
Any other nominations for chair of the local station board?
Jan Goodman.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other nominations for chair of the local station board? Are there any objections to... Okay, there are objections, so let's go ahead and have a yay-nay vote. How many people...
All those in favor of Jamie Gomez as chair, please raise your hands and keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Hang on, let me write it down.
Yeah, let's finish the vote first.
All those opposed? 1, 2, 3. Abstentions? 1.
Hey, we've got 2, I think.
Oh, were there, I think.
No, no, I'm just going okay. 1 for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we have 12 for, 3 against, 1 abstain.
Point of information, Ms. Goodman.
Do our bylaws call for a secret ballot for election of officers?
No.
No? Okay.
Only if you have multiple candidates.
I see. Okay. If you have multiple candidates. Okay,
it has to be an STV.
All right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. We have 15 minutes for public comments, if the public would like to comment at this time.
I'll go with one person. I move that... somebody's talking?
But she's getting out. You want to talk?
If you're going to add the session to... move it to later time, I wouldn't object.
That's my motion.
Yeah. Okay. Would we like to combine the public comments session number 1 with public comments number 2 after reports?
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear some objection.
Okay.
Are there any objections to combining public comments number 1 and public comments number 2 following reports?
So that would make it a 30-minute?
That would make it a 30-minute public comment session. Hearing no objections, that's so resolved. So next up, we have our general manager's report.
Okay.
Christine, can you minimize the
feedback?
Well, minimize using the. Hold it enough of the distance so I don't get
sure.
feedback.
Sure.
It fuzzes up the sound.
Ms. Blasio, can you bear with me just one moment before
yes.
you start?
Yes.
I need to do a share out from our closed session yesterday. And we had a closed executive session of the local station board yesterday.
I'm sorry.
We had a closed session of the local station board yesterday at which we approved a list of candidates for general manager to give to our national executive director on the PNB for hiring for the position of general manager for KPFK. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, and my apologies for sending out the general manager's report. The general manager's report that was sent out this morning. Part of the reason is because I also had to get some reports from my staff, and we had December has just started, so it's kind of difficult to get all that information. But in the report, just reiterating the recapping of the fall fund drive, which our goal was $650,000. We did $742.5, but of that amount, there were some considerable donations that are being sent right now. I've authorized checks for 2 of the 3. There is a summary that's sent in the report, but the Center for Public Democracy, the Puerto Rican Aid, Puerto Rico Organizational Aid is over $27,000. The Caribbean Hurricane Relief is over $7,000, like 7-4. The Mexican Earthquake Relief is 5-3, so $5,340. The smaller checks, they've already been issued, and the organizations have been notified that that's coming. With...
too much in total, of
course? Oh, well... 27,700. Yeah, it's significant. We had to do advanced payroll for November 30th and December 15th due to the concern that our accounts might be swept because we have just had a fund drive, so we've got a big piggy bank.
And so we wanted to make sure, on advice of the CFO, to do advanced payroll and also to make sure that our health care costs were covered. So we are covered for December 15th payroll as well as the health benefits for January. Just a note from the former fund drive, and this is only to for the this body because this could be the last time that you hear from me. I don't know the timeline with the new general manager placement. So this might be my last report. This might, who knows with Pacifica, this might be the last time you see me. I haven't a clue. But on the last fund drive, out of the $742,000, I wanted just to let you know that 45% of that money that was raised was from the programming that I did. In addition to managing the station, I continue to do the fund drive shows that, yes, you hear repeatedly, but that was to the tune of $332,000. So if anybody has a hard time saying she doesn't earn her money, her salary, they can just listen to that. That said, it's up to, I guess, the executive director. It's up to, I don't know whose decision it would be made, but once a new general manager, of course, is chosen, I would love to help them get acquainted to the place and what to look for, what to be concerned about when it comes to the FCC, but also our timeline when it comes to fund drive. There's a whole season. So I would love to do that, but also to offer my services and myself in the capacity of doing what I do best, and that's fundraising. I'm hoping that I can have some participation in that, but that's up to the executive director. Our next drive is literally in a couple days. This is the holiday fund drive. This is the last chance to encourage people to donate to get their tax write-offs. So we're hoping that it'll do really well. It's December 5th to the 15th if we're on goal. The goal is $300,000. If we're on goal, we'll be done with the 15th. If not, we extend it just 2 days. So it's a short, sweet. I'm hoping that people with generosity of the holidays will donate, but also we're going to encourage them for that last minute tax write-off. Also, speaking of the fund drives, I'm very, very proud to say that we are very financially, at least the station, is very financially responsible, and to our listeners, very responsible. We've made sure that all of our premiums, except for November, because that was a very long drive and it just happened, all of the premiums, I would say like 90% of past due premiums are done. They've been mailed out. I see every day in the conference room envelopes being stuffed, packages going out. I know because I write the checks to the vendors. We made sure that with this worry about the Empire State Building coming in, I was writing checks. I was writing a lot of those checks, even from November, for our vendors from November. So we're very much ahead of that. One quick side note, and I don't even know how much time I have. How much time? 10 minutes?
Well, you're a little bit over, but please, we'll give you.
Okay. This is just in reference to the CFO, to Sam. I know that I personally have butted heads with him on some issues, as we all butt heads with each other, right? Because we're passionate about what we do. But I have to say that when I was at a meeting, a seminar, and with the worry that the Empire State could come in and seize our assets right away, our bank account, he called me, and I had a conference call with him and Barry, and he said, you know, we should advance the payroll. Let's do that. And let's also advance the health care. And I said to him, I said, would you like us to advance the central services, which is, you know, it's $18,000 every 2 weeks. It's $36,000 a month. I said, would you like us to advance that to make sure that we get that to you? And he said, no. He said, I want you to take care of the employees first. And I got to tell you something. That, to me, it hit me in the heart. I said, That's a good man. That's a really decent guy, and he actually really cares about the people that work for the stations. So I just thought that was and he wouldn't tell you, but I just wanted to tell you. Okay. The budget process. The budget was passed from the LSB, but now it's with Sam and Ed, the Bill, and they're of course because they don't have a description from me about all of the things that are going on with it. They're like, no, the personnel costs are higher. Okay, first of all, personnel costs are higher in 2018 because when Leslie Radford did the 2017 budget, she did not include some of the positions in which she had, at the end of the year, had put into place. We have a full-time programmer that was not figured in the budget, and then with that programmer, we had to hire a three-quarter time, almost full-time union producer, so benefits and all of that. So we have two additional employees that were not figured in the 2017 budget. That said, also, I do believe that she did not have the webmaster scheduled in there. The webmaster I had to bring back because that's money. Just in the last fund drive is $37,000 that comes from the website. So I did have to bring Ali Lexa back, and that was also, I believe, part of the union, the settlement. So that's why some of the personnel costs are higher. Also, it was a wish list for me to have a part-time volunteer coordinator. We are a volunteer-run station. We do fund drives every other day. I really would love to have put into the budget to try and get a part-time volunteer coordinator. Because they were so worried about the personnel costs, I'm going to ask that we take that off, Ken. We're going to we're going to take that off. It was like probably $25,000, $30,000. That's going to be taken off. I don't know how the station will do it, but it's just going to happen.
Would that be real later on? That if you need them?
Can we get questions?
Well, that's up to the.
Let's hold questions until the end.
That's up to the new general manager. Also, I don't know what's happening with the if there's a loan. There's a loan in the building. I don't know about the loan. Don't know anything about it. The other thing is that I still have the money set aside for the pensions, $80,000 set aside, and I have no update yet as far as what we can do. That's just sitting in an account as well that Empire State Building could come in and take. I would like to know that that's somewhere safe, but I have not been advised by anybody on that. The last thing is, as I am going to be out of country in the middle of December for the holidays with my fiance in Australia, I am going to be checking email. I can do voice, I can do phone calls, all of that, and I have management that's going to be sitting there at the station in case there's an urgent issue or anything like that. And until I'm notified that there is a new general manager, the station is my responsibility, and I take that very seriously.
Thank you. We appreciate all you have done. Questions for the general manager? We have Steve, Reza, Fernando, and Lawrence.
Christian, when are you returning from?
I will be back right after the first year.
And what has Sam Agarwal told you about the Empire State Building and how they will move against our funds?
That's for the office, the director report, not Christine.
Well, I just like to. Well, no, I think it's relevant here. In that Christine has talked about positioning our funds with that as a possibility in mind. I'd just like to know what the chief financial officer has said about this.
Okay. Jan, your point of order?
I just want to caution all of us that there are certain things that should be dealt with in executive session. And
why this?
Pardon?
Why?
Why? Because
it's in the bylaw.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that are that have to do with finances and contracts and legal issues that need to be dealt with in executive session, and I'm not saying that every issue has to be, but I'm cautioning everybody that if it might be something that should be held in executive session, that we should save it for executive session.
What was your question, Steve?
The last 2 months, we've been under the threat of the Empire State Building stepping in and taking the funds. I'd like to know what Sam evaluates that possibility be. Well, and we are practically in executive session here. We only have one member of the public or one person that's not in the community.
Okay, that's a
two.
So that's probably better asked of the directors who work with National.
I'll address that point. I don't know what Sam thinks. I only know from our manager's meetings, and this is a public, because the general managers, with the exception, I think, of probably Berthold, I'm not certain, but we've made public, and the Pacifica Radio Archives director, the executive director, the CFO, and the general managers and the business managers have really called for an active pursuit of doing a signal swap. If a loan is going to be taken out, that we're begging that the signal swap, finding somebody to do the signal swap, happens immediately, because the station, and I'll tell you, this is the last thing you hear from me, risking that building is extremely dangerous. Because we are the, we raise the most money in the entire network. We have the largest staff, yes. So it would be affecting the most amount of people. But we raise the most money, so we give the most money to Central Services, to National. But also it holds one of the biggest revenue makers in the network, and that's the Pacifica Radio Archives. So you're risking, I'm not saying you.
The foundation.
It's risking two major revenue-generating entities. New York barely can pay their bills. Texas, same thing. They have a staff of like two or three. But I'm just really, really concerned about the building. But as of right now, I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Fernando?
My understanding, by listening to you, Christine, thank you for your good work, by the way, is that the programs that you produce were able to raise about 45% of the general income of the last fund drive. My quick question to you is, sometimes two, three of the radio stations, local radio stations, and two of the public television stations do compete with us in terms of trying to get money from the same audience in Southern California as we do. Do you ever check on what they're offering, what their approach to fundraiser compared to what we do, just to see who can be the most effective?
I listen a lot to the other stations, and all I have to say is it's a numbers game. They have so many more listeners that they can put out a call and say, we have KUSC socks. And they can get $100 for those socks. Now, they never say a $100 pledge. They say, become a member of KU, blah, 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 and we'll send you these really awesome socks that'll keep you warm in the wintertime. And they make a lot of money. The other thing is that they have board members, and I'm not saying that this board needs to do this, but they have board members. They've announced, oh, we had a wonderful pledge of $15,000 from our board member, so-and-so and his wife, and we would like to match that $15,000 in the next 10 minutes or an hour, and they do, but it's because they have a very large listenership. What has to happen at the station, exciting programming, but also we need to get the word out there about the programming and grow our listenership. We're doing a lot with very little. And that's what we do. It's the same people pledging, you know, a lot of times. I see it. It's the same people happening all the time. But they just have a much larger listenership than we do. That's why they can offer socks.
Thank you, Christine.
Literally, they offer socks. Rafa?
Yes, Christine. Thank you. You mentioned that every month we pay $65,000 a month. I would like to ask you how many Spanish programmers are receiving, you know, from this money, you know, receiving salary from this station.
Are you referring to the payroll? To the general payroll? No, with payroll it is management, paid management staff. Those that have been brought in prior to my, I have not hired anybody new. The paid staff that were there in place, union, who were cut in half, their pay and their hours were cut in half. Was it a year and a half ago? 2 years ago? And so they were all brought back, but that was before my time. So there's no additional, there's nobody that's additional that's also, that's being paid. It's just whoever is, whoever was originally there when I got there, paid staff.
Thank you, Christine. Lawrence?
Yes, so I'm getting the pug, Christine, and I just love dogs, so it's a good touch. No. So I've asked the directors quite a few times about our property, and I was informed that they were going to go. Grace told us that she was going to go get legal advice whether she could be candid with us in executive session, which I found to be outrageous, because we need to know what's going on. I'm concerned about the property. I'm concerned about the people in the building in regards to union staff, our volunteers who do the bulk of the work. Or the lifting. I mean, you do a lot of lifting, so does Raggy and all of them.
Okay, can we get to the questions, please?
Sir, you didn't interrupt anybody. Don't interrupt me, please. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for this session. That's why
I'm you're cutting into my time. You're cutting into my time. So my question is, also I'd like to thank you for the relief efforts that you've done, and especially for Puerto Rico, that's where I'm from. So my question is, that we need to go into executive session, as Steve Kaiser's concern is, reflects mine, is that we need to be told candidly as to what are the options on the table in regards to paying back the Empire State Building.
So what's the question?
Small comment, if you want to comment.
No question.
No, I would...
please respond.
As general manager, interim or not, I'm really concerned that I don't have a frickin' clue as to what's happening with the Empire State Building issue.
Who does?
This is just something that's of concern that I think if I don't know and the majority of you don't know, then who knows? Is it just the national board and they're making all the decisions? Even though the attorney, I don't know what's happening, and it's very concerning to me at this point. I don't know, and it's not even that the listeners don't know. The listeners don't know the part of it, any part of it, really. So I hope that this board actually moves on this and finds out what's happening and what moves are going to be done before they do sweep out the accounts, because they can. I could go to work tomorrow, and Barry could say that $130,000 that we had in our account, it's gone. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay, so Ismael?
Yes, what is, you mentioned...
the microphone.
Sure.
It's right here.
You mentioned the 90% of the past premiums have probably about that much have been shipped out, have been mailed. Is that work continuing on the remaining 10%?
The remaining 10% are sometimes, like KPFA will offer some things, you know, Mitch, there's some premiums, thank you gifts, that are offered by people that are outside of KPFK, and us trying to get those, that information, sometimes is like a wild goose chase. So from previous fund drives, I would say maybe even just the last couple, there are still some things that are outstanding, and they're trying to search down that information. But it's not from, you know, years ago or things like that anymore. No.
When you say they're trying to track that down, they're trying to track it down with these that are outside, like KPFA or others?
For the most part, yeah.
The other question is, on the pensions,
Is there a way, I guess this is a question for the chair, that we could encourage that the $80,000 be moved and placed into the pensions fund?
I believe that motion was already made at a previous local station board meeting.
So you're aware, what it is that we're not, even though KPFK is in compliance and we have the money, and we'd like to put it into their accounts, we've been notified from National that they won't let us just put it into KPFK's pension accounts. The entire network. So we're talking, don't forget, we're not the only station.
Right.
The whole network. For 2 years, didn't put in. The pension. We were told that the pension administrators, the pension plan, will not let you pick and choose. Like, oh, just KPFK gets their pension. Oh, just KPFA gets their pension. They all have to be met. The issue is that these other stations don't have the money. We do, but they don't. Union negotiations happened, all this stuff happened, but right now I think probably the only person who would be able to tell you a little bit more about the status of it would be Jan, because she was involved with the union arbitration with me. So you can ask Jan.
Thank you, Christine. Marcel, did you have a question?
I do.
Jan? Okay. So
we're ready.
Yeah. Please go ahead. You're done.
The third one was I guess this is a question for you, Mr. Chairman. Can the local board ask the national board as a recommendation that we guarantee a transition period under salary, like, I don't know, a week, 3 weeks, whatever Christine needs in order to guarantee that the new coming general manager does have a good understanding and a good update on as to what has been the functioning of the station under Christine's management and going forward?
I will contact the executive director to try to coordinate the changing of the guard.
I don't think that that's going to be a problem or an issue.
It's going to be an issue. And Christine did let me know that she's willing to continue working as general manager as long as we need her during this transition phase, which we greatly appreciate. Thank you.
The main thing is that the right person. I don't want there to be a rush to just throw a warm body in that office. We're at a very critical time right now, and that station needs to be cared for with the utmost respect, and for not just for the situation we're in, but also for the staff, both paid and volunteer, and the listeners. I'm very serious about that.
Right. Last question.
This is just sort of a general comment / question. We do have an opening for a GM, and I just have to speak for the candidates for such a position that some may not be as financially dependent on a regular salary as others. There are different backgrounds, or they may, you know, have a desire to leave where they work anyway. I don't know. But I would hate to expose someone making a good faith transition to a new job, leaving one that might be satisfactory, without being fully apprised in the candid way we're talking now by the executive director, whoever that person chooses to meet with. Because my heart bleeds to think of someone not realizing how vulnerable we are to being levied and other such things. You know, if they are aware of it and they're up for a challenge, fantastic. But I really want us to show the integrity of not bringing someone in with an overly rosy view of what a GM might be faced with in a month or two.
Okay, and yes, the candidates were apprised of the situation during their interviews.
Thank you.
So they are aware. Thank you. Okay. Any last words, or are we ready to move on to the director's reports? Christine?
For me?
Yes.
Okay, so there is... we're working on... implementing now while I'm here too. We're working on some other fundraising activities, other ideas to generate funds that are outside of a fund drive. Maggie LaPique is producing and getting everything together for a very powerful VIP Sunday brunch that we're going to do, honoring some
major donor event.
It's a major donor event, and there will be the honorees will be Dolores Huerta, Ed Asner, J.P. DeJoria, and it's going to be featured. There's going to be music and all kinds of wonderful things, but it is a large donor event, and that's going to be happening in February, which the beginning of February. So
February 4th in the afternoon at Catalina's, and any support from members to help, you know, like, aww, you know, run, you know, like take money, you know, just putting together the silent auction. I mean, we really need help to make this a success.
Where's it going to be?
Catalina Jazz Club. And, you know, I work with Catalina and have for years. It's free.
It's not in Catalina, though, is it?
It's in Hollywood. And my goal is 50 people, $5,000 each. So, you know, invite your friends that got a lot of money, too. We don't. We'll all be on the periphery of the event.
And just realize the calendar. We're concentrated time. So, like, this week, right, we start the holiday drive. It sounds so fun, doesn't it? It's so much stress. So we're 2 weeks with the December drive. Then, of course, is the holidays when nothing is really done. Then January. We have 1 month, January. Maggie, we have 1 month in January where we can have, you know, new things happening, wonderful things. But then February is our long, it's like our fall fund drive. It is an intense, long fund drive. So we don't have a lot of downtime. Just want to let you know the calendar.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Directors?
I'd like to point the roll, Chair.
Yes, Lawrence?
In view of our financial crisis and the threat of the Empire State Building levying our accounts, I'd like to move that we go into executive sessions to have a candid conversation with our board of directors in regards to the state that I just mentioned.
A motion has been made to recess our meeting and go into executive session. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Chair, can you take a vote on that?
Can we have a small discussion? Any discussion? Can we do this later, after we take care of the other business? That might be more expeditious for everybody.
Is that amendment
acceptable
to you?
Yeah.
So then, at the end of our meeting, we can make a motion to adjourn and then go into executive session.
Well, I like us.
So we're past.
If I may, so say I like us to do it right after the board of directors offers us what they have right now, and then we go into a vote for executive session.
More public comment.
We should take public comments before we do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Likewise. Just for information, we have to go over the bylaws. Otherwise, we're going to miss the period of approving or not approving them. So I think it's more appropriate to have the closed session after business of the open session.
Let's discuss that when we vote on the matter after the public comments.
Okay.
So right now we're going to go into director's reports.
Okay.